In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. As we began last week, we began to speak about discipline and what the Bible tells us about discipline. And we said that maybe, all of us want our children to be successful and want them to grow up healthy, being able to, you know, manage and chart themselves through the waves of this world. And we established that discipline was very important to do this. We said a couple of things about discipline that maybe Kida will review quickly. We said that we need to keep certain things in mind when we are talking about discipline. One is that the purpose of discipline is to deter destruction. So whether it be to themselves or whether it be to other people, we need to set these limits for our children, to prevent, destructing themselves and others. And sometimes as parents, or most of the time as parents, we foresee things based on our experiences and what we've seen, with other people and around us. Our children don't have this insight yet because they're still young. So we need to, if they don't see it, and it's very important, we need to make sure we set these boundaries and enforce them. So the first is, we have to keep in mind that when we set these limits and these rules, they are for the purpose of their protection, to deter their destruction. The second thing we said is the means in which we should discipline are both by actions and words. As we referred to what St. Paul said, or what Solomon said, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him." So he said he mentioned two verbs, both chastening and rebuke. So one of them, the chastening, is the disciplinary action, and the rebuke is the verbal words or the corrective words. The third thing we said is the motive for our correction and setting rules for our children or our households, it should be out of love. Shouldn't be, out of vengeance, and shouldn't be, just because this is how, I want it, but it should be motivated out of love to help our children feel safe and secure. Then the fourth thing we said was that the goal of disciplining our children is to teach them obedience. To teach them obedience. And obedience, when we teach them obedience, we're teaching them to make the right choices for the right time or the right reasons. And this way we can, at the beginning, maybe in the early stages, children obey out of fear and obligation because they have to and they're scared. But then as they grow up, we want to convert this fear and obligation into love and trust, that I obey my parents because I love them and I trust that what they are doing will help protect me and keep me secure. The fifth thing we'll pick up today was we have to recognize that their short-term pain will produce long-term gains. In the beginning, it's going to be very difficult. And that's why St. Paul, when he said to the Hebrews, "Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful." Painful for both the child and maybe for myself. When I set these rules and I know, I'm not going to let you go to this person's house, and I see my child very upset and is heartbroken, it might be, of course, it's painful to them, but it's also, it might be painful to me. But it's difficult in the beginning, but the end produces good results. And that's why he continues. It says, "Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." So it produces fruit of righteousness. So when we set these limits and enforce them, it produces righteousness. We need to keep it in our mind whenever we discipline, not whether my child likes the discipline that I'm imposing now, but maybe 10, 15, 20 years down the line, will they thank me for it or not? So always have this, vision of the future with them being on their own in the world and having to make these decisions on their own. So it might be painful now, but in the beginning or at the end, it'll pay off. And our children will come and they'll make us feel so bad, they will, you know, I'm sure a lot of us have heard this. Oh, you're the worst dad in the world. I hate you. I'm never going to hug you again. Whatever it might be. They'll say whatever they can to get you to change your mind. So certainly discipline is not for the faint at heart. It's not for somebody that can't take it. Believe me, they say this now, and later they will thank you and hug you and kiss you again, and everything will be fine and dandy. So is discipline worth the effort? Is it worth all of the investment, you know, that we put in it? I think, you know, I recall in my childhood, my parents often told me who to play with and who not to play with. And I felt like the people that I liked to play with, the ones they said don't go play with, and the people that I, you know, I was okay with, they said go play with them. But I, for the most part, they're not here to witness, but for the most part, I kind of trusted their decision. Because I knew at the end of the day, they saw things that they didn't want me to pick up in these people. Or just for the sheer fact, they didn't know them. Not knowing what I would be exposed to. You know, so we have to be prepared for this, and certainly is worth it. When we tell our daughters, for example, it's too early to date, and we set limits for them now. Yes, they might be like, but everybody else is doing it, and how I'm not going to do this, and I'm going to look bad, people are going to make fun of me. It's okay, you know, sit down, you talk. But we know in the long term, this is what's going to be safe for my child. When my son or daughter comes and says, I want to watch this particular TV show, and by the way, we should know the TV shows that our children are watching. We shouldn't just prop them in front of the TV, give them the remote, and go off and do other things. We should be aware of what shows they're watching. You know, I hate, and it's very sad for me to report to you, but there are many shows on TV that they promote the gay marriage. You'll find two men having children, two women having children. And our children, if they view this, they look at this and say, this is normal. And you'll find even the young kids come and they'll say, yani, Abuna, or dad, you know, can somebody have two dads? Of course not. So we need to be very aware of what our children are watching. And by the way, you know, whenever we watch TV shows, we promote this program, whatever it might be. So if we see something that is inappropriate, whether it be in this nature or, you know, any other thing that's inappropriate, whether it be too violent or whatever, we shouldn't watch it. Because when we watch it, we promote them. And then when they see the ratings going up, then everybody will copy them. They'll make those same types of programs. So yes, it might seem trivial. You might think that, okay, my watching this is not going to be a big deal. But actually it does. It will. So we need to be cautious of what our children are watching, and if it's something inappropriate, change the channel or watch something else. We need to be aware of that. So when our child wants to ask us to watch a particular TV show, and you say, no, I don't want you to watch it, you know, again, you might not like it in the beginning, but at the end, it's for their protection. It's for their protection. I can't tell you how many times I get, you know, with the young children come to confession that are scared at night and have bad dreams because of the things that they watch on TV. Many of us, we just let our kids watch whatever. Even the games that we play on the iPad and the, you know, whatever, PS4, whatever out there now, Xbox One, the games are very violent. Okay, maybe not even the children playing the game, but they're watching an older sibling playing the game. We need to be very cautious. You know, we think as adults it doesn't affect us, but our children, it certainly does. So it is very important, and it's worth every effort for us to discipline and set these rules for our children or our house. And oftentimes you'll hear in society and everybody say, but you want your children to be your friend. In a sense, yes, you want to be able to play with your children. But your children don't need friends. They have an abundance of friends everywhere else. What they need are parents, people to guide them. Ultimately, parents are the only ones in the world with the primary responsibility of giving your children what they need, not what they want. Ultimately, the parents are the ones responsible to give the child what they need. Not the grandparents, not the aunts, not the uncles. All these people may be spoiled children. But it's up to the parent, ultimately, to provide what the child needs. And if that means I have to, you know, step up and say, you know, to my mom or grandma, please don't do this, please don't do that. We need to do that because I hold the ultimate responsibility before God because God entrusted me with this child. So the myth is that you should be your friend, your child's friend at all costs. But the truth is, you know, your kids will feel secure and loved if you've set appropriate boundaries for them and aren't afraid to enforce them. So what's the difference between punishment and discipline? Sometimes we get, you know, this confused. Punishment, sometimes we do this out of emotion. Say, for example, your son 3 weeks ago was caught skipping class, and you sat down and you talked with him and said, hey, you got to go to school and this, and you gave him the whole nine yards, the whole lecture. And he promised, okay, I won't do it again. 3 weeks later, you get a call from the principal saying your son is not, you know, at school. So, of course, you pick up the cell phone, try to call your son, see where he is, and he doesn't answer. Why? Because he thinks you think he's at school. So he doesn't answer. And then just very nicely and casually, he comes home at exactly whatever, 3 o'clock, whatever time he's supposed to come home from school. And you happen to be home, and you see him walk in the door, and then what happens? You know, I think many of you can imagine better what happens. Sometimes we punish or we end up making these emotionally charged punishments or decisions because of our emotions. We need to be cautious sometimes of making any pronouncing rules and punishments out of emotion. I recall not too long ago, the teacher from Joshua's class came and told me something that I was, you know, alarmed of. And then I was just so upset. And before I could speak to my son about it, I called to Sonia and said, hey, this is what happened, and this is how I feel. She's like, no, we'll talk to him. He knows it's wrong and this and that. So if we need to do that, you know, consult somebody else or consult your spouse before we pronounce it, do so. But sometimes, kiddo, we produce these punishments and we try to figure out what punishment is severe enough to let them know. And let me, make a note here. Any punishment that we, or any rule that we say, we have to enforce. Even if later we think it was too harsh, but we still have to enforce it because they know that we mean business. Be cautious. So punishment, when we just do this out of emotion, what does this produce in the child? It produces in the child guilt if they are young and resentment if they are old. So they feel like both resentment and guilt if they feel like every mistake is just being punished and there's no, you know, room for growth. If we compare this with how God deals with us, God deals with us with grace, and we all enjoy this grace, that when we sin, we can come to Him and ask for forgiveness, and He is patient and He is kind, and He forgives us. But sometimes when it comes to applying this to ourselves, when maybe my son or daughter do something to embarrass me in front of my, you know, my colleagues, my peers, or whatever, I may not think or feel that I can deal with them in the same way. I have to show them, lay down the iron rod and show them who is boss and, you know, khalas, to make sure, you know, that they never embarrass me again. For here we need to be cautious. You know, look at how God deals with us and maybe try to deal the same with our children. Some of the feelings that are associated, we said, with punishment, we said was guilt and resentment. Also, it could foster bitterness, it could foster regret, self-pity, and even fear. And if you come to think about it, when we just punish, it's more retroactive. So it's mostly we're reacting to something that happened in the past, right? And then when we punish, it doesn't seem to have a way to make things right. You did this, so this is the price that you're going to pay for doing this. To the child, it doesn't have, there's no sense of return. There's no sense of, okay, how can I make this better? And this is how God deals with us. He wants us, when we sin, to make things better. He keeps the door open to us. That's why when they brought the woman who was caught in adultery to Christ, He said to her, women, where are the where are your accusers? He has no one condemn you. And she said, no one, Lord. And he said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. So he provided for her the way of return. Go and sin no more. So if we said, you know, punishment is retroactive and deals with the past, discipline deals with the future. How can we make this, how can we grow from this incident? How can we make the future better? How can we not fall into the same mistake twice? And the purpose of discipline is to train our children in correction and maturity. And of course, you know, anybody, when we discipline, we should always be in control. It shouldn't be out of emotion. And it should be appropriate for what the child has done. So how do we discipline? And this will be, we'll start today and we'll finish next week, God willing. So how do we discipline? The way we discipline is very controversial. You'll find many people speak about different things, and you'll find, you know, when a person, like, you'll find in the news often that this parent, you know, was, you know, beating their child, or they hit their child. And then the media, you know, anytime you hear anybody, you know, was spanked, a child is spanked, maybe the kid tells somebody in school that my mom or dad spanked me, big red flags go up, and everybody's super sensitive, and everybody's suspicious of the parents from the get-go. But I'll read for you a couple of verses that the Bible teaches us maybe about how we discipline our children and the use of maybe spanking if necessary. It says, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. I don't want to, rod here doesn't necessarily mean a stick or a metal bat, you know, of course not. But the rod can be the means of discipline, and it's strong enough to make sure that the child understands. And sometimes this might, you know, require some kind of pain. Whether it's, you know, an emotional pain of I'm going to take something away from you, or maybe sometimes if the age is appropriate, and we'll talk about this later, spanking them in a certain way. Also it says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. So here, Solomon speaks about two verses about using the rod or using discipline. And I think, again, like we said, it could be more difficult for the parent, but at the end, it produces the desired response. And I think if we discipline our children appropriately at the young age, there will be no need for physical discipline. Again, if we are successful in setting for our children rules when they are young and enforcing them, there will probably not be a need for us to discipline with, you know, a rod or discipline with something, some means of, you know, physically. But it would just be verbally. And we all have to realize that children, when they grow, out of their nature, out of their sinful nature, they are rebellious. We as humans, we were rebellious against God, out of our nature, right? We're all sinful. We all, when we sin, we rebel against God. So children, they have different stages of rebellion in their development, and we have to understand this. The first, you'll find that children will be boldly defiant. You tell the young kid, don't do this. They look at you in the eye, and they go do it. Why? They want to see what your reaction is going to be. What do mom and dad mean when they say these boundaries? What are they willing to do? And mind you, if they find out one parent will not keep the boundaries and the other will, they know exactly who the fool is, for the lack of a better word. Also, talking back. Children, as they grow, they'll begin to talk back. Again, another stage of a rebellious attitude. Then they'll go from this maybe to lying, to get what they want, deception. And then maybe they might even revert to stealing. So if no boundaries or boundaries are not well established or enforced, it leads our children to be confused and leads them, you know, again, to resentment. God willing, next week we'll speak about 7 steps and how to discipline, you know, our children. And, you know, 7 different ways. So when we look at the whole package, 7 as a whole, we will see that these resemble how God deals with us when we sin. You know, when we sin, we come to Him. There's some kind of, the rules were set, we broke the rules. Okay, we are rebuked for it, we are disciplined for it, and then there's love and reconciliation later. We'll speak about all these in detail, God willing, next week. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.